You know what I've always wondered? The singer Cardi B, is she related somehow to the toothbrush Oral-B? I don't know.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program of enormous proportions. I'm Ron Van Dam, my name is in the title. Okay, all right. I was watching TV yesterday. Apparently, the jackpot for one of the lottery things. I think it's the Powerballs or something, which is used to be my nickname in high school. Hey, look, here comes Powerballs. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think that was a compliment. I don't know. Anyway, apparently the jackpot now is $163 million or $300-something million. I really don't know. There comes a point where, okay, that's enough. Yeah, $163 million, $316 million. I mean, what's the difference at that point? Come on. What would you do? What would you do if you won $163 million? Oh, I'd probably quit my job and buy a car. Oh, God. You're not fit to have that kind of money. Wow, you're so rich. You have houses all over the country and yachts, and you own everything. How did you do it? Did you have a successful company? Are you an entrepreneur? How did you become so filthy rich?
I picked numbers. I picked seven numbers.
Wow, you're so talented.
I picked seven numbers. That's what I did. That's how I made my fortune. I picked seven numbers. I know. I'm a genius.
No, you're a lucky bastard. That's what you are. Which is the name of your jet airplane, the Lucky Bastard. Your 2,000-foot yacht, the Lucky Bastard. Break. You don't impress me much. Shania Twain, you don't impress me much. Remember that song? Don't sing it. Don't sing it now. Oh, come on, don't do that. Before I did the show today, I flossed. I just want to let you know, just so we can keep ourselves clean and hygienically possible. I flossed. I did. I took a piece of string and waxed. It was waxed. You don't want to put a piece of string between your teeth that isn't waxed. And this is just a tip from my dentist. I took a waxed piece of string and I moved it back and forth between my teeth. And Was it exciting? No. Was it pleasurable? No. And why'd you do it? Because my dentist told me to do it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't do something stupid like that. I don't like flossing. It's stupid. I don't like going back and forth between my teeth. It's not right. I think I told you the story once. I panicked once that a dental floss got stuck between my teeth. And I walked around all day with this string hanging out of my mouth. I looked like a walking tampon. I'm not into it, man. I brush my teeth like at least twice a day, at least. Because I honor my teeth. But I ain't sticking string in between them. Just on the whim of a dental guy or a dental hygienist. Guy, woman, people. I think I read somewhere, and I don't know. See, I'm not, just don't go by what I say. I think I read somewhere, though, and you probably did too. At one point, dentists had the highest suicide rate of any profession. What? Why? I don't know. It must be incredibly depressing to go into other people's mouths. Even though you're invited. It's not like you're just walking up to somebody's face and going, I want to put my hands in your mouth. You don't do that. It's done by permission. You have to sign contracts, sign at the bottom. I give this man, this woman, permission to go inside my mouth. I for some reason, that's incredibly depressing to these people. And they commit suicide. It's sad. I'm not making fun of it. I've been to a lot of dental funerals. As a result, it's very sad. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He was a nice man, a good dentist. When he put his hands in my mouth, I felt so good and relieved and so open and refreshed. And now he's gone, and I'm going to have to find another dentist. And I am so sorry. I think once when I went to a dental funeral, by mistake, I walked up to the widow. And I said, by mistake, I'm sorry for your floss. It was a Freudian slip. Actually, I saw a woman in the corner. She was wearing a Freudian slip. Yeah, she had a slip on under her skirt, and it had little pieces of Freud's face on the slip. It was a Freudian slip, for sure, for sure. I had Freudian pajamas when I was a kid. My mother got me one of those underoo things, but I didn't like the stupid animals on the underoos or the stupid symbols. But they did have a one with Freud's face on it, and they were Freud pajamas. And they were Freudian pajamas. It was fantastic because I was that kind of kid. I didn't like to play with other children because they were children, you know what I'm saying? I knew when I got older I'd have a problem with children. I had no problem with my children. I have a problem with your children. That's the thing. Keep your children like cooped up, will you? Don't let them run around like crazy. They're going to make a mess and go all over the place. Put in one of those electronic fences. Keep them on your property. Anyway, I didn't like to play with other children. We'd have to play in the street, and that's where cars were, so it didn't make much sense to me. But the other kids, all they did was just run around and make noise. I mean, what? Is that your purpose in life? You know, when you get older, you're not going to be able to do that. You can't run around and make noise. You'll get arrested. So why do we let them do it as children? We shouldn't. We should groom them for adulthood. Childhood is such a small part of your life. It's only like, 15 years at best? That's not a lot of years compared to the number of years you're going to live, hopefully. It's such a small chunk. And yet, when we raise children, our only attitude is, oh, just let them run around, you know, because when they get older, they can't run around. Yeah, they can. They can get into sports. So it's just not true. It's not true at all. You know, kids like get into fights. Oh, they're just being kids. What? Do you do that when they're adult? Look, these two adults they're beating the crap out of each other. They're all bleeding and stuff. I mean, call an ambulance. Ah, they're just being adults. Leave them alone. They're just being adults. Wow. That's crazy. That's certainly crazy. We don't groom the children to be adults at all. We just let them run around into walls and stuff. The only way we watch children and take care of them is just tell them not to run with scissors. That's about it. I don't think when I was an adult I ever had to run with scissors. I never found using scissors to be an immediate action that I had to run to or run from or run with. I think it's because my parents said to me, don't run with scissors. I wouldn't even think of that. But then I couldn't think of a situation where I would run with scissors. Ron, quick. We've got to cut something. Get me some scissors and run over here. I can't do that. My parents told me never to run with scissors.
Oh, okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah. Parents also told me to not to shut the front door. I guess if you do, the door will come off the hinge and you'll have no door. I don't know why you couldn't shut it. I think because it was just damn annoying. I don't shut doors anymore. I don't shut doors at all. It's a loud action for no reason whatsoever. When you're a kid, you have to shut doors because you're always on the move. You don't have time to close the door properly. When you're an adult, you got all the time in the world to close that sucker. There's no reason to rush through it. No reason at all. I don't know. My parents used to say, Ron, what do you live in a barn? And I used to say, I don't know why you're saying that to me. And no, I don't, unless you call this a barn. Why are you insulting your own dwelling? Why are you asking me if I live in a barn? Why would you say something like that out of the clear blue? Out of nowhere, you ask me these stupid questions. Hey, Ron, what, do you live in a barn? I don't know how to answer that. No, I don't live in a barn. Ron, what, do you live in a spaceship? I don't know why you would say something like that. No, I don't live in a spaceship. Why are you asking me if I live in a spaceship or in a barn? You know I live in a house. Strange line of questioning. Are you trying to trip me up? The series of questions that I hated throughout my life were those SATs, those SAT things, which is the past tense of sitting. Ron, you want to sit? Sure. All right, Ron sat. Then why are you asking me all these intelligence questions on a test? Yeah, I hated that SAT test. No one ever. And the funny thing about the SAT test was they talked down to you. You know, like, it's time to take the SAT test. They never said that. It's time to take the SAT. Oh, wow, if you say it out loud, people will start sitting down. Why are you spelling that? It's time to take the SAT test. Now, I know that SAT is, you know, had nothing to do with sitting down, although you did sit down to take the test, so there was a connection. But I hated that thing. Mary has 23 apples. She gives 5 to Bob. 2 get smashed. She picks up another 5 dozen. 6 gets smashed. He picks up another 3. What's the ratio of percentage on a parallel universe?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Well, you're not intelligent, okay? Did you ever meet somebody that was incredibly... I have an IQ of 732. You do? Yes, I do. Are you intimidated by me?
No, not really, because you probably don't know how to tie your shoes.
That's the interesting thing about intelligence. Do we agree at least on that? Intelligence comes in two packages, and you usually can't have both. Either you're like Einstein,
where you're just an incredible mind. Your mind is just, you've got numbers floating, you can figure anything out, you're just a walking piece of intelligence, but you can't tie your shoes, and you can't comb your hair. Do you ever see a picture of Einstein? Never combed his hair. I don't think he flossed. I don't think he knew how, but he was incredibly intelligent. But socially, ugh. Then there's the other kind of person, and you can't have both, who is like really trailer park dumb. And if you live in a trailer park, I'm just being funny. I'm not trying to insult you. Some very intelligent people live in trailer parks. I just haven't met them yet. But yeah, some people that are book dumb. They some of them can't even read well or don't want to, or they just they're just still, what's 6 and 7? What is that up to?
I don't know.
Really, let's just say the word stupid. Really stupid. But street smart, whoa. They can figure anything out anytime. They know the rules of the street. They can start a lawnmower. They can change the oil in their car. They know all that stuff. It's one or the other. If you have a blend of the two intelligences, then I think you're golden. I don't think you need to have too much of, you know, it's like politics. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk about politics. You have, in politics, you have the extremes. You have the extreme right, and you have the extreme left, and never the twain shall meet. There's Shania Twain reference again. The people in the middle, they're good. They're good. The people in the extremes, they drive themselves crazy. So that's the way it goes. The extremes, not an easy life. Doesn't really work that way. We need to meet in the middle. That would solve everything, wouldn't it? We need to meet in the middle. There'd be no more strikes, no more disagreements. Well, we'll all meet in the middle and we'll just have a beer or something. We'll just meet in the middle. Where do you want to meet tonight? Let's just meet in the middle. I don't know. I want to go to the extreme. I want to go to this extremely crazy bar. I don't want to go there. I want to go to this extremely quiet bar. Well, maybe we should just meet in the middle at 6 o'clock. All right, I'll meet you down at the middle. Okay, then we'll both have a good time. Well, we both won't have as much of a good time as we could if we went to our corners and had like a really good time into what we do, but we can have a good time meeting in the middle. Yeah, let's do that for the good of society. Okay, we'll meet in the middle. How about you, Bob? Okay, how about you, Joe? Okay, how about you, Sydney? Okay, how about you, Clarence? Nah, I don't want to go. I can't. Why? Clarence. My name is Clarence. Ugh, I can't go anywhere. All right. But let's meet in the middle at 6 o'clock. Or how about 6:30? No, 6 o'clock is the middle of the... Stop it. No, 6:30 is the middle of the hour. Oh, you're right. We'll meet at 6:30 in the middle. What would you do with $163 million? Or $360 million? I don't know which it is. What would you do? What would you do? I would just sit back in a chair and say... And not spend any of it. I'd just sit back in a chair and go, okay, I'm done. But that's not good. You don't want to sit back in a chair and say, okay, I'm done. No, it's better to work for your money and struggle just a little bit and be concerned about things. It's not good to sit back in a chair and say, I'm done. Well, if I had $300 million, I would give at least $1 million to every one of my friends. Oh, really? Well, I would still have $315 million left because I only have one friend. And even that friend doesn't deserve that money. That's why I'm just, some people say I have tons of friends and I'm not even talking Facebook. I mean, I really have tons of friends. Okay, good. Now you have a lot of responsibilities and that's a problem too. You got to drive someone to the airport all the time. You got to help them move. You got to help them paint their rooms.
You know, I need help painting my room. Will you all come over and help me paint the room?
Why?
I'm going to order a pizza.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Sure. Yeah, let's get painting. What is it with that? Is that how we're paying people these days, with pizza wedges? Will you drive me to the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning? Oh, God, no. I'd rather not be your friend. I'm going to order pizza. Okay, sure. The hell's wrong with us? We're like pathetic dogs. Wave a piece of pizza in front of your face and they'll do anything.
Mary, can we have sex tonight? We haven't had sex in 6 months.
I'm really very tired. I have a headache.
I have a piece of pizza.
Nah, I still don't want to do it.
Women don't do that. See, women are not... they don't care about pizza. Guys, for some reason, have just some kind of thing with pizza. They just, I'll do anything for pizza.
Women, they'll do nothing for pizza. They will stick to their guns. That's an odd expression.
I'm walking all around. I got a gun on my ass.
What is a gun doing on your ass? I just stick to my guns. That's the way I am.
Wow. You shouldn't have guns then.
I know. I know I shouldn't. All right. I have a guest coming up momentarily. Can I waste 20 minutes or what? You bet you can, man. You go, girl. All right. We'll be right back after this enchantingly crazy restaurant that's running a special on pasta.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah, it's a little weird there, though.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajore.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Cline.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Betsy Chin joins us. She's Vice President, Medicare Advantage, United Healthcare. It's that time of year again, Betsy.
Indeed.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed it is. This is, for those that may not be familiar, there is a certain period of time where it's best to sign up or change or do whatever you want to your Medicare choices, your health choices. Why is this so important to do?
Yeah, thanks, Ron. The annual enrollment period is what's coming up. You may start to see ads and get lots of mail about all of your Medicare choices.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a good reminder that it's time to give a thought to what you'd like your coverage to be next year. The reason this time of year is so important, Ron, is because for many people on Medicare, it's their one chance a year to elect their coverage. So if you're a return user of the Medicare program, meaning you've been on some coverage already, this is your one time for most consumers every year to make a switch in your plan if you'd like to do that. And the period runs from October 15th through December 7th. So just a few short weeks here in the fall to make a decision for next year.
Now, a lot of people may say, okay, I did this, and I don't have to do anything if I'm happy with what's going on. Are a lot of changes made with a lot of these providers annually? Is there a reason to review it every year?
Yes. But to your first point, if you're happy with your coverage, For most people, you can do nothing if you'd like and just stay in the same plan for next year as long as that plan continues to be offered. But we always recommend taking a look at your coverage and reassessing at this time of year because plans do change. All of the carriers will take a look at their benefits for next year and potentially make changes if necessary. As a consumer or a member of the plan, you'll find out about those changes through a piece of mail called the Annual Notice of Change, which you should look out for in the next couple of weeks. That's the sort of official notification from your health plan about your coverage for next year, what's going to stay the same and what's going to change.
Okay.
And that's sort of your kickoff to look at, is your plan still going to meet your needs next year or should you look elsewhere?
Okay, so we should get that within the next couple of weeks. The enrollment period is between the 7th and the October 7th and December 15th. So we would get notification.
Sorry, Ron, October 15th and December 7th.
Oh, okay. All right, this is wrong on my sheet here, but okay, fine. All right, close enough though. But so I would get that information ahead of time before I need to make a decision or want to make a decision, right?
That's right.
Okay, very good. All right. Why is it, Betsy, why is it always so narrow? Why does there have to be a period of time? Why can't anybody do this at any time during the year?
Yeah, well, during the year, if you have a qualifying event, such as you move to a different part of the country, for example, then you would get another option to make a change because coverage is local.
Uh-huh.
In most cases. And so if your circumstances change, you'd get another option to look at another plan. But for most people, the coverage that you're buying is a 1-year policy. So you get one shot, throughout the year to take a look at your options. Uh-huh. And make a decision for next year.
Okay. A lot of people, especially seniors, are saying this is a lot. You know, this is a lot of choices. I have to decipher. I have to look at all different things. It's a lot for them. So they may just say, yeah, leave it the way it is. It's okay, whatever. Is there a service that can help you decipher all this information in order to help you make the right decision?
Absolutely. And one place that we always recommend people start is MedicareEducation.com. It's an educational resource that can help connect you to not only information to read on your own, but also connections to local agents or events where you can get this information in a more formal fashion as well. And really what I would recommend for people is don't be overwhelmed by this. Just take the time to do some homework, talk to experts, and make sure that you're evaluating this important decision. Because although if you are happy, you can stay in your plan many times, it's worth looking around if you have a certain budget that you need to keep to throughout the year, if there's certain doctors or prescription drugs that are especially important to your health. Those are the kinds of things, the costs and the coverage for doctors and drugs that you really want to double check are going to meet your needs with your plan in the next year.
Okay. All right. Fine. Well, is there anything else that we should know? It does seem like a lot, but I guess when you get into it, it's not as overwhelming as it may sound.
That's right, Ron. And I would just emphasize, use the educational resources available. Start with MedicareEducation.com and just give yourself time ahead of the enrollment period, which again starts October 15th and ends December 7th, to make an informed choice for next year.
And how would somebody know if they're eligible for Medicare at all?
Well, for most people, you become eligible for Medicare when you turn 65. There are some qualifying conditions that could get you eligible before that, but you'll find out from the government that you're eligible for the program, and then you'll have options to sign up during your initial coverage phase when you initially reach eligibility, and then annually during this annual enrollment period in the fall.
Excellent. Okay, one more time where people can go to get some more information here.
Visit MedicareEducation.com ahead of the Medicare annual enrollment period to find out what you need to know for your Medicare choices next year.
Excellent. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.